I want to look at 2 Kings tonight, 2 Kings chapter number 22. The Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, and the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azalah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, and have them have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house. Unto carpenters and builders and masons and, to buy timber and hew stone to repair the house. Howbeit there is no reckoning made with them for the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. Amen. That's what God's looking for, is faithful people. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again, and said, the servants have gathered the money that's found in the house, have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, and that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Hakim the son of Shaphan, and Akbar the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ashaniah the servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, and do according unto all that which is written according to us. So how Hilkiah the priest, and Achilim, and Akbor, and Shaphan, and Ashnai, and went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shulam, the son of Tikvah, and the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. I want to preach just a little while tonight, if God will be my help, on this thought, what we need. Amen. What we need. As we look at this and we see the Word of God, he's talking about a Josiah, and he begins to minister as king of Judah. And he's young, he's getting started out, and you young folks ought to take a message from this. As Josiah, praise God, he grew up in the house of the Lord, and he done those things that was right in the eyes of God. It tells us here in verse number 2, and he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or the left. So we see a young man that was focused in the things of the Lord, and he began to do the things that was right in the eyes of God. Now the Bible tells us that his mother was Jediah, and she was the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. Now that word Jediah Jedidah, whatever, however you pronounce that, is beloved. That's what her name means. I believe she was a beloved of God, the Father, and I believe she was beloved of her Son, and I believe she taught him the things of God in particular. I believe she took this young man and she began to encourage him and show him the right ways. And they began to, Josiah, he began to look at the things and he began to recognize things and said, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan and he sends these fellows up to the house of the Lord, and they go up to the house of the Lord, the keepers of the thing, and they begin to deliver to them in the hands of the Lord, to the workers that's doing the work in the house of the Lord. And now what they was doing, they was looking at a renovation process. See, he had already went through the kingdom as an early age, and he had already took out and began to take out, even as 8 year old, he began to take out those things that would defile the kingdom. You can see that if we turn over in our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, to the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. The Bible tells us this story, but it gives us a little bit more detail into how it takes place. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, in verse number 1, that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned Jerusalem 130 years. So he was the king in Jerusalem for 31 years. Of course, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. I want you to notice there, it's in Chronicles, it said that there was no decline in him. A lot of times there's a lot of decline in Christian folks today. Amen. We're declining instead of persevering and pressing on for the God of glory. And so for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. So at 8 years old, he began to seek after God. I want to say this yet today, youngins, you young people, listen to me. You're never too old to seek the things of God. Amen. We're never too young and we're never too old. You older folks, amen, you older youngins, you're never too old to seek the things of God. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, from the groves and the the carved images and the molten images. So at 12 years old, Josiah begins to clean house. Amen. At 12 years old, Josiah, he done realized what was right in the sight of God, and he begins to clean house to the best of his ability. And I will say this, to the best of his knowledge. Amen. Our youngins, our people, and us, we can only live according to our knowledge. That's why it's important that we have the Word of God. What we need today is the Word of God to give us direction and a focus and help in this present world which we live. We don't need it tomorrow or next day or next week. We need it today to begin to establish ourselves on the promise and principles of a holy God. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do appreciate that. So he began to clean house. He began to get rid of these things that was in the way. Now I want to say this. He didn't begin to remodel the things of Israel. He began to renovate the whole place. Now in order to renovate, you got to tear everything out so that you can do it back right. And then sometimes we get a house, an old house, and it's substandard. Amen. Maybe in every aspect. There's a little house that was below us, and all the time growing up, it was started out as a little one-room building, and then they had with a little bedroom on it, and then they added a little bathroom, and then they added another place for a kitchen, and they just patchworked that little house together over many, many years. And folks bought it over 2 years ago now, and they come in, and where the house is next to the creek and the things that's in respect to it, they couldn't just go in and tear it down and build something back because of where it was at. And so what they had to do, they had to renovate that house. And what they ended up doing over a two-year period, Brother Junior, they actually built a new house around that shell. And as they built the new house around the shell, they tore out the old shell so that when they was finished, everything outside and inside is brand new. Amen. That's what God wants to do for us today. That's what Josiah was trying to do for the nation of Israel, praise God. He was doing his best to renovate the nation of Israel. He's trying his best, praise God, with the knowledge that he had to bring Israel back to where we got to be. So he begins to rebuild the temple that we see here in the Word of God. He begins to renovate it, praise God, and try to bring it up to standards. Now, what standards was he trying to bring it up to? The same standard every church ought to be is the standard of a holy God. Amen. Not my standard or your standard, but His standard. What He wants, what He expects, and what He allows, praise God, for His glory. That's what He wants. He wants glory out of all that we do at His house. Amen. I got to reading this in 2 Chronicles. It blessed my heart as it gives it how they went to tearing this stuff down and the molten images and they break them to pieces and mashed them, crushed them up the dust and strode them out and got rid of all this mess and done away with the burning. They burnt the bones of the priest upon the altar, and they cleaned they cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he says that so did they. Verse number 6: did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali? Amen. From the southern borders to the northern borders, praise God. He just began to clean house, and he said with their mattocks round about. And you know what a mattock is? A mattock's something you use for digging. Amen. But what this tells me that Josiah, praise God, he got the fellows to busy about the Lord's business, and they begin to dig down all that old junk that was around them, praise God, got digging down to the base of it. They didn't leave any part of it standing. They dug it down, dug under it, praise, dug it up and got rid of it. Sometimes in our Christian life, it'd be good just to dig down what we need, praise God, just dig down to the base of all the junk in our life, praise God, and get rid of it. Amen. You say, what's junk that don't bring glory to God? Amen. Just dig down and get rid of it. Praise the Lord. So they begin to dig down with their mattocks. They begin to get under it. They begin digging. They begin to break it apart. And they begin to get it out of the way. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles 34, said in verse 8, he says, now in the 18th year of the reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Jonah, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord, his God. So he gets everything tore out, gets everything tore down, gets everything out of the way, and he goes to the house of God and begins to rebuild and repair God's house. Amen. And he begins to work on it, and he sends they came to Hilkiah, the priest, the high priest, and delivered to him the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites had kept the doors, and Levites that kept the doors had gathered in the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that brought it in the house of the Lord, to repair and to amend the house. He said, so they began to mend it up. They began to fix it up, praise God, where it was broken up. Amen, for God's glory. Praise the Lord. And even as the artificers and the builders gave it to buy hewn stone and timbers for couplings and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Mariah and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites to set it forward and over the Levites all that were skilled in instruments of music. Also they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites there were scribes and officers and porters. And they brought into the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law in the Lord of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word again, saying, all that was commanded of thy servants, they do it. They have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe took the book, told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Isaiah, the servant of the king, saying, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of God that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that it is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tekvath, the son of Asherah, a keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thou hast the Lord, thus hast the Lord said of Israel, tell ye the man that sent ye to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burnt incense unto other gods, that they provoke me to anger with all the works of their hand. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me and didst rent thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the word unto the king word. Amen. So we see the story here, and it's a parallel story in Kings and Second Chronicles, how God Almighty began to bless, and how they go up to repair the breaches in the house, to rebuild the temple. And in the temple, they find the word of God. Let me tell you what happened. The Word of God had been lost. Can you imagine losing the Word of God? Amen. Can you imagine losing the Word of God? Amen. Where did they lose? But the bad part was, the bad part was where they lost it. Brother Bill, they lost the Word of God in the house of God. Amen. Did you hear what I said? They lost the Word of God in the house of God. How could that happen? Amen. It could happen when people don't attend the house of God very much. Amen. Praise God. The Word of God was lost. It was forsaken in God's house. Amen. It's good that we have the Word of God. We've got to have, but it's bad when we lose the Word of God. It'd be bad to lose the Word of God. I thought of them people down there in Grenada. Amen. As I was looking and studying, reading this stuff yesterday, how God Almighty's blessed them and how they want the Word of God. They haven't lost the Word of God. They've never had the Word of God. Amen. But praise God, I'm glad that God gives opportunities, praise the Lord. They was going to build a temple. They was looking, and they found the Word of God that was lost in the house of God. We need to be careful, youngins, praise God, that we don't lose the Word of God even in the house of God. You say, well, preacher, that could never happen. It's happening all over this country. People are compromising the things of God. They're compromising the Word of God. I tell you, there's a lot of places now tonight. Listen to me, youngins. There's a lot of places tonight that don't want the Word out of this blessed old book. They want you to stand up and tell them something out of the newspaper. They want to tell you, they want you to tell them the things in fairy tales and things that's made up, things that pacify them, and that tickles their ear. Amen. That's what the Bible said, that they'd be in the last days of this dispensation of grace. But I'm glad, praise God, that this blessed old King James Bible, it's still the Word of God, and it'll still do the trick. It'll still give us courage, and it'll give us strength, and it's something to build upon. It's something that'll establish a foundation. It's something that'll send us forward with the glory of God. It's something, praise God, that we want to make sure that we never lose. Amen. Amen. What do you say? And I'm saying tonight we need to take a stand for the Word of God. Need to come with a humble heart and humble spirit, praise God, that God's Word will always speak to our hearts, and that God's Word will always be in His house. Amen. Praise God. Where we can come and get it from the Lord. Why? Because it's important. It's important that we have the Word of God. Amen. You can have fairy tales and fiction and other stories. But praise God, what'll help your heart tonight, what'll help my heart, what'll build a family and turn a home into a family, praise God, a place where God is welcome, is the Word of God. I tell a lot of people every time I counsel with somebody when they're talking about getting married, I say, listen, don't get married if you're not going to become a child of God, if you're not going to go to church, if you're not going to get in the Word of God, if you're not going to trust the Lord, because it will not work. You'll go down the road a little ways and it'll fall apart. And without the Lord to help you to hold it together, it will not work. Amen. Amen. I tell everybody I see that. And then every time we give counseling to that, I tell them you've got to determine that number one, that you're both saved, you love the Lord. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen. Amen. You got to find you a helpmeet, praise God, that's saved and loved the Lord. And then get in there in the yoke together and pull for God's glory. Amen. You've got two people become one. Amen. Amen. Praise God. A string that's twisted together, praise God, is twice as strong. What we need, praise God, is the Word of God in our hearts and not be pulling against each other, but going together for God's glory, amen, today. Praise the Lord. Two people become one. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know why I throw that in there, but that felt good. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're not competing with each other, praise God. We're working together for God's glory. Amen. Praise God. So what we have, we need to have the Word of God. Why? Because God's Word is strong. Look at Hebrews chapter number 4. You know this verse very well. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. It says, for the Word of God is quick. That means lively, living and functional. Amen? And it's powerful. That means it has power. That word power comes from the word dynamos, which is explosive. Amen? So the Word is living, it's functional, it's powerful. It's like dynamite, praise God. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? It said it's sharp enough to separate, to cut off the good and the bad and leave the good. Praise the Lord. Said it's piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He said, so we need the Word of God. It's good to have the Word of God, praise God, because it's quick, it's lively, it's living, it's powerful, praise God. It's a piercing, amen. It's a dividing force. It divides the good from the bad. It separates us from the sinfulness that so easily besets us. It gives us a foundation and a sureness and a solidness. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart, amen. Have you ever thought about the thoughts and intents? That's two different things. The thoughts of the heart, praise God, and the intents are, a lot of times we intend to do something. Amen. A lot of times we're thoughtful about something. But till we're thoughtfully and our intention, our thoughtfulness and our intendedness, praise God, comes together, amen, it don't function much. But when it comes together, praise God, it comes together for God's glory in our heart. So it's good to have the Word of God. Amen. We find it at house God, and we never want to lose it from the house of God. Amen. We always want to have God's Word. So we have the where, it's in God's house. We have the why, it's in the Word of truth, praise God, that divides and separates and guides, praise God. But it's good to have the Word of God, but it's even better to hear the Word of God. Amen. They found the Word of God, the house of God. It had been lost in the house of God. And they found in the house of God, but praise God, wasn't it a blessing when they began to hear the Word of God? Now let me just say this. Josiah, since 8 years old, he had been doing his best. And I believe he was trained up from the time he was 4 when his family was slain and killed. He was taken away and he was brought up in a household with his mother and this man of God who raised him up and pointed him right direction that actually saved him, praise God, from destruction. To that time they'd become 8 years old and they established him up. You ought to go back and read this story. I've read it 1,000 times. I love this story. Amen. But from the time he was brought up, he began to trust and function in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He heard the Word of God, and he began to work things out according to the Word of God. But they come to a place in his life, praise God, that he began to hear the Word of God, and he realized there was some things that was missing. Amen. Now, a whole lot of us, about all of us, have the Word of God. I was talking to somebody yesterday about the Word of God in the Bibles that we have. And I've got at least 20. Let me just leave it there. I've got at least 20. Probably a whole lot more than that if I said I gathered them all up and counted them. Amen. I've got a lot, and they're all King James Bibles. Amen. I don't have no junk. Hey, it's kind of like the fellas that study counterfeit money. When they're looking for counterfeit money, when they're studying, they're training to detect counterfeit money, they never touch a piece of counterfeit money. Amen? The only thing they ever allow them to touch is the real thing. They train them up and they teach them to feel and to know and the texture and everything of the real thing. And so whenever they're in the bank and they're at their teller station, somebody comes in and they try to slip them some funny money, praise God, there's an alarm goes off because it ain't right. The only thing they've ever had, praise God, is the real thing. I won't say today, praise God, what we need to have, what we need to give our children is the real thing. There's been people that said to me, well, preacher, sometimes we have things in the community and churches get together and try to worship together, and there's just certain things that we just can't attend. And that reason is, praise God, because they don't use the right book. You say, well, preacher, we ought to be able to worship together anyway. I cannot with a good conscience take you to a church where they use a different, they use the wrong book and have you sit there and make you think that it's okay. I can't do it. Amen. That's why we got to stay in a good fundamental Bible, believe in King James toting church. Amen. Because I believe this is the Word of God for the English-speaking people. Written on a third grade education level where we can all understand it. I want to say, listen to me, youngins. This used to be, praise God, and it still ought to be the textbook for learning to read in the United States of America. Amen. This was the book that our forefathers learned to read and write out of. You say, well, preacher, that book's archaic now. It's got the these and the thous. Amen. That's all right. Praise God. I know exactly what each one of them mean. Amen. Praise the Lord. And everything that goes in between it, it's all right. Bless His holy name. Hey, so we got the Word of God so we can have the Word of God. But we got to have it, and it's good to have the Word of God, but it's better to hear the Word of God. Amen. Hear what it's got to speak to our heart. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen, amen. Unless you can't hear, you can't get help, praise God, unless you hear the Word of God. I can tell you all kind of fairy tales. I can tell you all kind of things. That's why it's important that if we're going to hear, we don't hear a counterfeit. If you're going to hear something, praise God, make sure you're listening to the real thing. They've got Bibles now. Listen to me. They got Bibles out there that you can listen to. And they got all these different, what they call versions. I call them perversions. Amen? And you can get them and you can listen to them. But what's it putting into your mind? It's counterfeit stuff. You say, well, preacher, is it really bad? Amen? When you get in one of them stinking things where they's no longer a sodomite, but they call them homosexual offenders, it's wrong. Amen? It's wrong. God hasn't changed His mind. He said it's wrong. Praise God. He said we got to put that out from among us. It goes against creation. It goes against godliness. It goes against what God stands for. So we need to have the Word of God. What we need is the Word of God. So, and we need to not only have it, but we need to hear it when it speaks to our hearts. Amen. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I mean, you can't have faith. You hear, and you can't hear without the Word of God. You've got to hear the truth in order to be able to believe. Somebody tells you a fairy tale. Somebody tells you something ain't true. Amen. There's nothing to believe. But when God tells you the truth, because God is truth, Amen. We have something that we can believe, we can build upon. Amen. We can tell our children about the stories in this blessed old book, praise God. They'll stand the test of time. They'll give us encouragement. They'll show us the rightness of God's way and the error of ours. Amen. So we see a better way, a good way. We see a better way. It's better to have to hear it. But we see how we hear it. The best, what's best, praise God, is the greatness and the blessing of heeding God's word. Amen. When Josiah heard God's word, he didn't only hear God's word, but he heeded God's word. He had a direction. He had a focus. He had a plan the way he thought he was supposed to go. And a lot of times we all have good intentions. Amen. There's a whole lot of things that's built up on good intentions. We all have them. But sometimes our intentions, even though they're built on good intentions, as good as we can possibly do, praise God, they're just not accurate. And we need to be accurate, praise God, to be blessed. So we need to heed what God says. Josiah come to a place, he done tore down the obstacles that was in his way. He began to build the house of God, and he found the Word of God, and God's Word began to speak to him more perfectly. Every one of us today can sit here and you can go back in your mind, you think, well, you know, these things I've heard all my life. You know, we've got little quirky sayings that we have, and a lot of times we think that they're biblical. Amen. That they come out of the Bible. But you won't find them nowhere in here. I've got a whole list at home one day that I was trying to sit down and I was trying to think about writing down the things that people say that the Bible says. And I began to try to look them up and find them, and I couldn't find them nowhere. Amen? They're just not there. It's what people think, but it's not what God says. So it's best, it's better to hear the Word of God, but praise God, the where, the why, and the how, praise God, it's better to heed the Word of God. It's best to heed the Word of God, to take what God has to say, amen, and use it for His glory. James tells us, and Brother Scott read this morning in your hearing, in James chapter number 1, the Bible says this in verse 19. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger," or slow to wrath. Now, I've told you before, James is writing to us here, and he said, listen, what we got to have, we got to have some understanding of the Word of God, and we got to love each other. Amen. That's why he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren," amen, he said, "let every man be swift to hear." He said, we ought to listen twice because we got two ears. Amen. And we ought to only speak one time because we just got one mouth. And in front of our tongue, which does the flopping, amen, is bars of ivory that we can use to keep it quiet. Amen. So that we don't say something that'll hurt someone. Amen. Praise God. That's why God made us the way that He did. He said, slow to speak and slow to wrath, slow to be angry. Amen. In other words, He said, don't let yourself go there. He said, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. He's talking about that overabundance of wickedness that comes, that so easily, the Bible says, so easily besets us. He said, we can't be caught up in that. He said, we should receive in meekness the engrafted word that's implanted in our heart. Where do we get it? From the Word of God. What we need is more of God and less of us. Amen. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, Scott touched on this morning in Sunday school. He said, we're supposed to be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. You say, preacher, how do we do that? We just do what God tells us to do. Amen. You say, well, preachers, that would be pretty difficult. Because no, it wouldn't. It'd just be listening, heeding what God says. Amen. He said, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what matter of man he is. So he said that if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass, looks in a mirror. And you see how you are. And you go away and straightway you forget who you was. You forget about that fellow that you was looking at. I said many times before, the fellow I have the most problem with is the one I shave every day. Amen. He's the one that, Brother Bill, gives me the most problems. Amen. Praise the Lord. Said, before he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgeteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He said, so what we not only hear the Word of God, but we have the Word of God, but we hear the Word of God and we begin to heed the Word of God. God begins to manifest it in their heart. So James says it in a nutshell. He says it this way. He said, you have it, said you hear it, and you do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's pretty, I think a little kid could do that. He said, we have it. Every one of us have a King James Bible. Amen. You said, preacher, I ain't got one. If you ain't got one, you let us know. We'll get you one. Amen. I guarantee you, we'll get you one if you ain't got one. But James said, we hear it, but we have it, we hear it, and we just do it. Amen. Praise God. So that's what happens. What we need, praise God, is the Word of God, and we need to use it and apply it to our lives. Praise God. The words it has, what it has to say, how it wants to speak to you and me. Amen. So we can take it into highways and hedges and compel others to come in. Praise the Lord. But we have to examine stuff. We can't be like they were here in 2 Kings and Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, we got to realize, praise God, that God Almighty has given us something that we're supposed to treasure and hold as a possession. And it's the precious oracles of God. It's His Word that speaks to our hearts. I believe so many have neglected that Word. Amen. But we have to ask ourselves the question, have you lost the Word of God somewhere? I mean, a lot of folks used to held it near and dear to their hearts. But now it seems like it's a long ways off. It's a far way off. It's not as near. It's not as close. You remember when you first got saved, praise God, and you couldn't read and study enough? You just wanted to look and dig and find out what God, let God speak to you? Where have we lost the Word? Amen. Even at the Lord's house, praise God. Maybe even in the midst of our religious life, we've lost the Word. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying it's not speaking to us like it should. We're not letting it speak. We're not listening for it. We have it, but we don't hear it and we don't heed it. And God's saying what we need to do is we need to have it and heed it and hear it. And let God speak to our hearts in it, praise God. In the midst of our religion, praise Lord, we need the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. Does God still speak to you? This evening, is God still speaking to you in His Word? He's still speaking to your heart. Amen. Every day. Every day. Sometimes we get busy, don't we? And we'll forget God. Amen. I mean, we don't forget. We just get so busy. We just don't have the mental capacity. We're not God. Amen. We can't constantly have Him on our mind like He has us on His mind. But when we come to ourselves and we realize, well, God's good to me today. Amen. He's right there. Amen. Does He still speak to you? Praise God. Amen. And when He speaks to us, Brother Bill, do we still obey Him? Amen. When He speaks to us, do we obey Him? Are we listening to Him? Do we hear Him? Do we heed Him? Do we obey Him when He speaks to our heart? When God speaks to us, do we say, yes, Lord? Amen. Sometimes God wants us to do little things. Amen. I mean, little things, little. It may seem like insignificant things to you. Say, well, Lord, that's just nothing. Praise God. If God speaks to our heart, speaks it to our hearts, it's not nothing. It's God speaking to you, and we are to obey Him. Amen. What we need to do, praise God, we just need to have the Word of God. Amen. We need to have it. We need to hear it, and we need to heed it. We need to listen to what it has to say. That we can carry it to a lost and dying world that they might be compelled to come in. That's what God's wanting to do for us tonight, young'uns, if we're just willing to listen. To take His Word and apply it to our hearts. Amen. And when we get it in there, then David said, I take the Word and hide it in my heart, Lord, that I might not sin against You. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to take His Word and hide it in our hearts.